Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. And as always, we desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord. Before we begin with the message, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to accomplish your will, Father. Guide and direct in every way that your word could touch those that are listening, that we that are saved could be drawn closer to you, and those that are lost could see their need to turn and trust in Jesus before it be everlasting too late. Father, we ask all these blessings, and we ask it in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. In Galatians chapter 6, you know, last week we dealt with church offense, and we dealt with it between an individual having been offended by another brother or sister in Christ in church, from Matthew chapter 18. And we went through that and tried to go into the details of it and how even personal offenses between church members can cause a lack of unity and actually come to the point that they'd have to be dealt with by the church. Now, this is not going to be something that really has to be dealt with as far as the church having to discipline somebody. This is more of us disciplining ourselves and also having spiritual people in the church that can encourage people to live in the right way. And we usually term this a person that's overtaken, a member that's overtaken in a fault. It begins in verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6 by saying, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now right here in verse 1, just several different points that we need to get into. First of all, you'll notice that this is not a person living in sin. This is a person that's been overtaken in a fault. Now every human being is just that, a human being. We have faults and failures, and even after we trust in Christ, we make a daily decision of whether we're going to yield ourselves unto the flesh or yield ourselves unto the Spirit. And sometimes, people make mistakes. You know, it's just that way in life. That people do make mistakes. And it's certainly no different where I've pastored over the years, of people I've come across. Now, you're always praying that when people make mistakes, you're hoping they're small and minor, but sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes people don't realize that they're being tempted. They fall into temptation. They fall into the snare of the devil, and they do something out of character. They do something that's not normal for them. And they fall into a sin. And notice the statement I'm making. I want to be very clear on this. There is a huge difference between somebody falling into a sin, making a mistake somewhere, versus somebody living in sin. There's a big difference between somebody that told you a lie and they come back and apologize for it, or you actually catch them in the lie and you find out it's just not in their character and you find out why and they feel horrible about it and they repent, versus somebody that lied to you every day. You know, there's a big difference between somebody who commits a sin of fornication or somebody that's living in fornication. There's a big difference between a person that's committed adultery than a person that's living in an adulterous affair or adulterous relationship. You know, there's a big difference between somebody who loses their temper at some point and says a word that they shouldn't say or says something somebody they shouldn't say and then comes back and tries to get it right or has to have somebody to encourage them to let go of their pride and get it right, whatever the case might be, than somebody who's just a bully, or somebody who's just constantly using their mouth in a foul way. There's a difference. And we need to understand clearly in the Bible that it's taught that there's a difference. And so when we see a brother or sister in Christ slip up and make a failure, not living in failure, not living in sin, but they mess up. They make a mistake. That it says, "Ye which are spiritual." These are people in the church that have a spiritual nature about them. And instead of seeing somebody that they can just put down and harp on and say, well, I tell you what, I knew it was going to happen, or I knew this was going to happen, or well, that's about what I expected, or just running somebody down, whatever it might be, that somebody's spiritual enough to go to that person and say, I want to try to be a blessing and help to them. There's too many in the world today that like to talk about others instead of try to help others. And when we see somebody in the church that has fallen captive to sin, we want to encourage them. Notice the statement here. He said, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You know, I like to see things restored. I just do. I've seen somebody take an old tractor and restore it. Beautiful thing. I've seen an old pickup restored before. I've seen people restore cars and different things. Sometimes restore furniture and things of this nature. And to restore something means to make it like new again. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get that brother or sister in Christ back in the fellowship that they need to be at with God. That's what we're wanting to do. And you have to be spiritual enough to desire that. It's easy to be human enough to say, well, they made their bed, they can lie in it. It's easy to be to the place that you say, well, that's their decision, they can just live with the consequences of it. Well, they can choose to repent. Well, they can do this. Sometimes a little bit of love goes a long way. A little bit of compassion and care goes a long way. Now, you will never hear me say that we need to uphold sin in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Nothing of the sort. But there's a big difference between condoning sin and trying to help the sinner back on the right path. Trying to help the person that's fallen down get back up. A lot of times, actually, you might have to go to them and tell them what they've done is wrong. You're certainly not condoning sin then. But you got to have the character about you and the spirituality about you and the meekness about you, as he said also in this verse, and the consideration that, man, if it wasn't for the grace of God and me looking to God, I could have fallen into the same place. I tell people this way. If a man after God's own heart, like David, can commit the sin that he did with Bathsheba and what he did against her husband, who am I to say what I couldn't do? If not for the grace of God, not for me looking to God for my grace and strength every day. And so understanding that I'm a sinner also, and understanding that I'm not better than anyone else, that it's by the grace of God I am what I am, when I see somebody that's overtaken in a fault. We're not talking about a person living in pride. We're not talking about a person living in some sinful manner here. We're talking about somebody who's made a failure. Somebody who slipped up. Somebody who did something out of character. And now they don't know what to do. I know from my own experience, years ago in life, it wasn't long after I first trusted Christ, you know, that I found myself occasionally saying some things I shouldn't say, doing some things I shouldn't do. And you sit back and it's hard to deal with the guilt. And say, man, I shouldn't be this way. And if it wasn't for people that actually loved me, cared about me, prayed with me, and different things, no telling how far a lot of that could have gone. And I'm thankful that there's people that care enough to say, this isn't who you are. This isn't the direction you should be going. And we're praying for you. And we want to encourage you. Goes a long way. And that's what's being talked about here in the Scripture. That when somebody's overtaken in a fault, they committed some sin, do we go to them and try to talk to them? And try to restore them to the place they were in Christ. He said in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, when you go to help somebody with sin, there's usually a story about how they got there, isn't there? Sometimes it's a sad story. Sometimes it's a self-pity story. Sometimes it's just that I felt like I deserved some things. And I went out and did something I shouldn't have done. But on any of those cases, if I'm going to go to talk to somebody in private and try to be a help and a blessing to them, to fulfill the law of Christ, I have to be a better listener than a talker sometimes. I have to be willing to sit down and listen. Doesn't mean I'm going to agree with everything that they say. Or even tell them I agree with everything they say. That would be lying. But sometimes they just want to get some things off their chest. Sometimes you just need to listen for a minute. It's not that you're trying to let them get away with an excuse or make an excuse for what they've done or what they're doing. You're trying to find out a way that you can help them. And I have learned this through the Scripture. Sometimes you learn how to help somebody by listening to them for a little bit. Sometimes I even know the Scriptures to turn to after I've listened to them, because actually then I know where their mind's at. And I have to be able to bear their burdens. To bear what they're going through and to try to see it from their point of view. Again, seeing something from their point of view doesn't mean I'm agreeing with their point of view. But I'm trying to understand where they came from, because I got to trace that map back to Christ. And say, where did you get away from God at? What did you listen to of Satan that made you go down the wrong path? And I've got to bear their burdens. And sometimes you might have to cry with somebody, laugh with somebody. A lot of things that goes into that. But notice this statement. I believe this is more meant for the person that's trying to do the helping and the restoring than the person who's actually committed the sin. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. If I sit back and see somebody fall into sin, I say, well, I would have never done that. I'm kind of lifting myself up, am I not? I made the statement in a message one time. I said, I can do any sin that's out there except God help me. I've had people come up when I've preached those type of messages and say, oh no, Brother Brandon, you would never. I say, man, I'm human being just like anyone else. You let me get away from God and there's no telling what I could do. You let me forsake God's leadership, God's guidance, God's direction, God's word. You let me get away from all that. You never know where I could go. You never know what I could do. And so when I start to think too highly of myself and start exalting myself, I'm not in a condition where I can help somebody else. Now, if I understand that I'm a sinner and that I'm capable of committing sin, and that if not by the grace of God, so goeth I. I can't really be a help to somebody. I can't be a blessing to somebody else. We need to understand this. We need to have it in our mindset that we're willing and able to help people. Notice the next statement. As we read here, he says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. If I really am what I say in God, shouldn't I want to have the attitude of Christ? Now, Christ never, ever condoned sin, did he? Never did. But at the same time, he wanted to see people repent, didn't he? I mean, anybody that knows the Scripture knows that's exactly what Christ desired. What he wanted. He wanted people to repent. And there's too many people out there that say, oh no, not me. If we're really the Christians that we should be and that we ought to be, we're going to have a different attitude. We're going to have an attitude of, man, that could have been me. I could have gone down that path. I could have went down that way. And so we're going to look at the person and say, man, if I was in that condition, I would want somebody to help me. If I failed, I'd want somebody to help me, to be an encouragement to me. And sometimes it's as simple as being overtaken in a fault that we get angry with somebody. I heard an old preacher years ago, and I was glad I was there to listen to it. It's been a blessing to me ever since. But he made the statement about when he was young, even before he surrendered to preach, that he had got angry with a fellow church member. And it was causing some problems in the church. And he had this idea in his head. And now at this point, we mentioned last week that things can get to a state where the church has to deal with some things. But it wasn't there yet with this man. And he said an older man came from the church to see him. I don't know how many years this was back. I'm sure in the early 1950s, maybe even the late 1940s. Whatever the case may be. But the man told me this. He said, if anybody else would have came from the church to talk to me, he said, I'd have probably tossed him on down the road. He said, but that man, he said, I knew the life that he lived, the spirit in which he came. He said, everything about that man, he said, made it where I couldn't tell him to get down the road. He said, I had to listen to him. I tell you what, people don't understand how important it is to have spiritual people in a church. And I wish I could get it across to church members how valuable their life is because of things like this. That we need people that are spiritual enough that are able to help other people in the church. And if we're not in a spiritual enough condition to be a blessing to them, we're going to be more of a hindrance. So we need to make sure that we're in condition and not get lifted up in pride ourselves and thinking ourselves as something when we're nothing. But he said, that man came and he talked to me and he helped me to see my anger and he helped me to see maybe that the other person wasn't necessarily right in what they did, but my attitude about it and what I was doing was wrong. And sometimes we need to be reminded about how God wants us to forgive and about how wrong we've done God. And just remember that it's not some other people that are asking us to live this way, it's the Lord. So if we're going to be a help to somebody else, we first must understand that we're nothing. We need to have that humility about us. He said, for every man shall bear his own burden. We got our own burden to carry with how we live unto the Lord, don't we? And also sometimes I'll say this, in trying to help others, sometimes even other people in the church don't understand it. You try to go and be a blessing to somebody and they say, man, they've made their decision. Man, they did this. And you know, there's always a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings going on. And you try to say, man, I would at least want somebody to try if it was me. I'd at least want somebody to care enough about me to make an effort. And so in all honesty, fulfilling the mind of Christ, what am I doing? I'm loving my neighbor as myself. More importantly, I'm loving my brother or sister in Christ in the church as myself, am I not? I'm trying to deal with them the same way I'd like to be dealt with. He said, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. What have I been taught by the word of God? When I was an enemy of God, God showed me mercy. God showed me mercy when I was his enemy. How can I not show mercy unto my brother or sister in Christ? Again, I'm not talking about excusing sin. There's this movement in our day and time, don't even mention sin. Don't. How dare you talk to me about my sin when, you know, everybody's got sin. You know, there's a sad movement in our day and time that doesn't understand much about the Scripture. I'm not trying to go down that line. But I tell you, the things that I've received of God, the love I've received of God, the forgiveness I've received of God, the mercy I've received of God, And even when I fail, God's desire for me to repent and draw back to Him. I've learned that from God. And if I've learned that from God, I should also communicate what I've learned from God to others. And so when I see my brother or sister in Christ overtaken in a fault, I should care enough about them to try to remind them of how good God's been to them. And I should try to go to them and say, listen, you've done this wrong. You know you have. Sometimes you don't even have to tell them that they've done wrong. I remember one time I went down to a jail cell. There was a young boy at the time, young man, however you want to look at it, that I'd had some dealings with in life, was also a member at my home church, and had the opportunity to go to the prison to visit him. And the first thing I told him when I got there, I said, I'm not here to talk about what you've done. I wanted him to know that. He already knew what he had done. And I kind of learned that from Christ. And the way that Jesus dealt with Peter in his sin. This boy knew what he had done. He knew the sin that he had committed. I said, I'm not here for the person that... of the things that you've done. I said, I'm here for what you're going to do next. Are you going to repent? Are you going to accept this? Are you going to continue to hang around the same people? What are you going to do? And I let him know, I said, I'm here to pray with you about what you're going to do from this day forward. You know, if I met a man that had talked ill to his wife, let's use that for an example. Marriage, relationship, very big. If I see a man that's being a horrible husband to his wife, and I see that, and as a brother in Christ, I go to him and say, man, I see what's going on. At the same time, I can say this, we can't change a single thing that's been said and done. What we can change is what you're going to do now. You're going to go and apologize? You going to pray? Need somebody to pray with to be a better husband, a better father? Whatever the case might be. If there's a young person that's fell into lust, instead of waiting for marriage, they committed the act of fornication. What do we do now? You just going to accept this? You just going to continue to go down this path? Are you going to get married? You going to repent? What are you going to do now? Nothing in the past can ever be changed. But what we do from that day forward can. Say I was talking to a man that cheated on his wife or something. I go to him and say, listen, you got a long road ahead of you. You going to give up? You just going to say, I quit? How much does your wife mean to you? How much does your family mean to you? And I would say the same thing if it was a woman. What are you going to do? You going to repent? And repentance means turn from. You going to turn to that which is good? Going to have a hard road to hoe? Because once sin is accomplished, there's a price to pay. But a lot of times we make the price a lot worse. And sometimes a lot better depending upon how we act after. Do we confess? Do we admit our wrong? Do we truly repent of it? Do we turn to God and say, I've sinned against you? And there's sometimes when it's even necessary, if it's a public thing where people know about it, you might even have to go before your home church and say, I've done something to be a stumbling block and a hindrance to my brothers and sisters in Christ and even lost people. I don't want my life to stand in the way of some soul trusting Christ. You know, I think a lot more souls would be saved if Christians would repent a little bit more. And stop getting caught up in pride. We need to communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. At the same time, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I don't tell people right off. Be as honest as I can. Whatever seeds you sow, you're going to reap. But I tell you what, we don't just reap one seed in life, do we? We reap many seeds in life. Sometimes I'm going to have to reap because I may have said something wrong or done something wrong. But then after that, if I come back and sow some seeds of forgiveness, let me rephrase that. If I sow some seeds of repentance, if I sow some seeds of apology, if I sow some seeds of a broken and contrite spirit, that's also some seeds that I can reap from. And we need to understand, when we're facing things in life, it's not just the bad things that we have to deal with, it's what we do after that. And sometimes the cover-up is worse than the sin. Sometimes the pride afterwards is worse than the sin that started with. And if we'd just be willing to acknowledge our sin, confess it, repent of it, we can make it a lot different. And even when we that find a brother or sister overtaken in a fault, sometimes the worst thing isn't just their sin. Sometimes it's the way we react to their sin and commit sins ourselves. And then we're reaping. We're going to reap what we sow out of that. I want us to understand this is a very important subject in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we deal with sin? Now again, what we're talking about today is when a person is overtaken in a fault. Now next week, Lord willing, we're going to deal with what do we do when a church member is living in sin. That's a different subject. It's handled in a different manner. When we're dealing with a person who has been a good and faithful Christian, maybe a faithful husband, a faithful father, a faithful mother, whatever it might be, we react with those things a lot differently than we do with somebody that's living in sin. But how we deal with sin is very important. How we love our brother and sister in Christ, and how we desire to see them restored in walking upright with the Lord, is very important. And how we behave in front of them when we're dealing with them. Am I showing them love, or am I showing them hatred? And please don't misunderstand me. I know there's times we might show disappointment. We might be discouraged. We might have a lot of emotions that go on. But I pray at the heart of what we do as God's people is we show people that we desire them to repent and we desire them to draw back close to God. I pray this could be a help and a blessing to you. If you'd have anything upon your heart, you always feel free. Our number is 601-544-7920. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email us, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. We certainly pray that this could be a blessing to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory, and God, for the good that's accomplished through it, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.